Welcome to the Point Forward Podcast with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's J.R. Radcliffe and Jim Ozarski. An over-caffeinated and below-the-rim Milwaukee Bucks conversation.
The Point Forward Podcast. Milwaukee Bucks chatter produced by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I know you guys are still sad about the Green Bay Packers losing in the NFC Championship game. Probably haven't even been paying much attention to the Bucks lately. We can try to take your mind off it a little bit. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the Journal Sentinel Bucks podcast each week. I am joined by Jim Ozarski. He is the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel beat reporter covering the Milwaukee Bucks. And actually, forget what I just said about taking your mind off the Packers, because Jim Ozarski, as many people know, was a part of the Packers coverage for the lion's share of the 2020 season. I think we're all still reeling from what we saw Sunday night, but just give me your thoughts. I know you're locked in on the Bucks. You're not, you know, you haven't been dealing with the Packers the last few weeks. But we can't go on without remarking upon what you were thinking. What's your reaction to the Packers' loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
I'm surprised. I mean, I thought when the bracket was set, JR, that Russell Wilson was really the only quarterback who could come into Lambeau Field and beat the Packers. And I think that's been proven. Like, I don't think Tom Brady, you know, he made a couple throws, but he also completed a handful of passes to the Packers. That, I'm surprised. I think if I was still making picks, I would have picked the Packers to win, you know, by 3 points or 4 points, something like that. And I'm still sitting here thinking that should have been the case. I was actually about to type an email to our editors to say, well, you know, I could probably fill in these gaps with these stories, you know, before they go to Tampa Bay for the Super Bowl. So yeah, I'm surprised by it. You know, at the end of the day, I think they got away from the things that got them to that point, and that is surprising. That because there was no indication that that would happen.
I also had a ton of content locked and loaded, ready to go, all of which just evaporated in a second, knowing I really, like you, thought they were going to Tampa. And unfortunately, for the fourth straight time since going to the Super Bowl 10 years ago, their season ends on the doorstep. Perhaps those of you who were still sad, reeling from the Packers' loss, did get a chance to check in with the Milwaukee Bucks on Sunday night. I'm guessing most people did not, like myself, just thinking about Packers, talking Packers, maybe watching the AFC game, not too interested in what's going on. Trae Young did not play for the Atlanta Hawks. Trae Young's having a great year for the Hawks against the Bucks. The Bucks did win convincingly, but not overwhelmingly, which I feel like might be a trend. I mean, we've even kind of touched on it. The excitement level with this team is difficult to really grasp onto because they beat the teams they're supposed to beat. They have not been dominant against some of the teams that you think they'd be contending with for an NBA championship later this year. Now, as the attention turns toward the Bucks, they are still second place in the Eastern Conference standings. Take that for what it is, but you know, they're in this thing. They could still be a number one seed. They could still be one of the top teams in the East. We're just not, I don't know, we're just not seeing this next gear. We could talk about the Hawks game. The more interesting games are the Lakers and Nets games, which have taken place since our last podcast. But Hawks game in particular, I mean, am I off base? Is this a team that's just, you know, not hitting the next gear like you think it would? Is this team an elite team in the Eastern Conference? Or are we still in this just like long-term holding pattern because short off season and they're figuring things out, new team, you know, trying to get set for the playoffs requires a very slow maturation process. How would you evaluate us to this point?
Yeah, well, they're an elite team in the Eastern Conference. I think the definition of that, however, is in the long term play. You know, they're going to lose more than they have, I guess, percentage wise, because you know, with all these postponements, JR, I don't even know if they're going to play 72 games. So, you know, winning percentage wise, it'll probably come down from the previous two seasons. But obviously the goal is to advance further and win more in the playoffs. So I think they're going through all of the things Bucks fans wanted to see, which was defensive adjustments, offensive adjustments, Giannis to change his game, add Drew Holiday, or, you know, a third all-star. What does that mean? Like, that has all happened. It is happening. And as a result, it doesn't look great at times. And I think the key, I guess, phrase in all of this was Giannis at practice after the Washington postponement, JR, was saying, we believe in it. We are working on it. And that's the key, I think, because if it got to a point or gets to a point where the players are getting frustrated and aren't believing in what they're doing, then that's where the problem comes in. But I think for now, they are believing in where they're going. And again, that's the hard part. It's the hurry up and wait. We're not going to know until they get there, right? If it works. So, I think they're elite and they will win more than they lose, of course. And it's just, you know, when will they get there? And I think we'll know it when we see it. We just don't know when we'll see it.
Yeah, it's hard for fans. I think there's an understanding. The regular season doesn't matter here. They're going to the playoffs, and you want them to be their best at that point. Understanding that that might mean that things are a little more rugged in the regular season, hard for fans to sort of like cognitively accept that. You also don't want to watch a team not look the part all year. Against the Nets and Lakers, they were close. I mean, they obviously the Nets game was really good. Back and forth at the Barclays Center. Came down to the very last possession where Chris Middleton gets the shot that does not fall. So the Bucks lose a very close one. Definitely points in that game where it looked like they were going to win. And then against the Lakers, they held it together on Thursday night. They were not blown out of the building. There were many times the Lakers threatened to go ahead, and then the Bucks came back, but at the end of the day, obviously the Lakers had that extra step. They had LeBron James and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and you know they are loaded. They've got Anthony Davis, Marcus Gasol. I mean, they're just loaded. How close do you think the Lakers and Bucks are at this point? Because maybe we're putting the cart before the horse. Just getting to the Eastern Conference Finals is a major step for this team, but it stands to reason that the Lakers are going to win the West, or at least absolutely be up there toward the end of the season. Do you think the Bucks can get to that level, or have the Lakers achieved a level where it's like, Bucks, nobody maybe are going to be able to compete with them this year?
No, the Bucks are close. They're there. I mean, and that's the interesting thing about this, JR. If you look at the loss to, I'm going to bring in the opener loss in Boston, because I think that still counts, because even though it was game one, I mean, they don't play Boston again until the second half of the season.
Yeah, right.
Kind of have to count it.
I'm not sure that they're ever going to play the 76ers. Like, that is just not scheduled yet.
So, yeah, like, they lost by a possession to Brooklyn and Boston. They had a late lead against L.A. At home with no fans. So, was at home, yeah, and think about it. They are looking ragged. They are making defensive mistakes. Giannis is trying to figure out what to do and where to go when the dunker is down on the baseline and that wall now is around the rim and not the free throw line. And it is raggedy, and Torrey Craig just played. And yet, really, truly, Giannis makes a couple free throws in Boston, in Brooklyn, you know, Middleton makes a shot, or even what happens earlier. Like, they, for all of their quote unquote issues, JR, I mean, they could have easily won those games. So I think if you're a Bucks fan, you have to look back. I mean, I'm looking at it as like, wow, if they even figure it out a little bit more, I'm not even saying like to the nth degree, right? Where like if they keep, you know, kind of these core players together into next year, what it could look like. Like, if they just figure out a little bit more, they're already either beating those teams or pushing, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I think it's something that'll keep, it might frustrate Bucks fans, JR, but I think it makes this regular season interesting to watch. I mean, maybe winning 57 games all in blowouts would be fun, but I also don't know how interesting that is. So this, I think you can, on a granular level, see this team changing, improving, adjusting, maybe taking a step back to take a step and a half forward. So in my view, JR, I do think they have the character of guys to still believe in it and see it through. And I think they're talented enough that when we revisit this in May as the playoffs start, they will have made those incremental improvements where you're like, yeah, they can win the East and then contend with whomever comes out of the West.
Here's the Giannis corner of the podcast where we talk about the Bucks star player. He's on the one hand, anytime I feel like I'm even lightly criticizing him, it feels stupid. He's the two-time MVP. He nearly puts up a triple-double every time he steps on the floor. It seems ridiculous to think of him as an incomplete prospect of any sort, but I was reading an article posted at The Ringer comparing him to Shaquille O'Neal, saying that the way he's being used more and more, especially with the free throw struggling he's had, with the development of the jump shot that just hasn't been there, particularly from three-point range, he's a little bit more like Shaquille O'Neal. That felt pejorative to me, because as dominant as O'Neal is, he seems like kind of a one-trick pony, strictly an inside guy. I think we think of Giannis as a more dynamic player than that. But the emphasis of the article was, if he's going to play like, if he is Shaq, he's going to need a Kobe. He's going to need a guy to take the big shots the way that Chris Middleton kind of did against the Nets, or kind of would in that situation, you know, maybe 7-8 times out of 10 at this point for the Bucks. I guess it's interesting to me with Giannis seeing him not defending the best player on another team. That's the reigning defensive player of the year. James Harden and Kevin Durant weren't guarded by Giannis. You know, he's guarding Alex Caruso against Los Angeles at points. Obviously, he's involved in the defensive scheme, but it doesn't feel like Giannis is the guy, capital G, A, in crunch time, and B, on the other team's best defender. That surprises me. Is this right now just because they're working on things with him, because foul trouble, meaning he can't really be involved, you know, front and center with the best guys because he's going to pick up more fouls and he can't shoot free throws? I mean, like, what do you think is going on with him, if anything at all is going on with him?
This is really fascinating, and I don't know when to write this story, JR, because, like, we're coming up on the quarter pole of the season, and it feels like even then it might be too soon. And what I mean by that is, I think we're watching a growing pain on both ends of a two-time MVP, which is so weird.
Right.
But he's still 26 years old. And I don't know if there's precedent, because anyone you talk to in the league, these coaches say, like, there's been no one like him. So you can't go to Kevin Durant at 26 or LeBron at 26 and be like, okay, this change in their game, or the, like, so he's out. Okay, so I think there's two things. One, offensively, he's not Shaq. I think they're trying to figure out, and he even said this, with the dunker, now the lane is clogged. Like, he's got a teammate in there. And so now the wall is falling back towards the rim. So now he's finding the mid post, which usually, and he said this, is not an area where he looks to score. Usually in the mid post, that's where the wall is. That's where he's kicking out. Well, now sometimes that's open. So you're seeing the Dirk, if you want to call it, little fadeaway, right? The little baby hook. That's newish. Is he ready to go to the hook to win a game, a la Kareem 1974 against the Celtics? You want to go all the way back, right?
Let's do it.
Like that. Well, exactly. I know he's not shooting threes at a crazy volume. However, he got Anthony Davis to close out on a when he went. I'm forgetting, the kid for Atlanta did it too. And then what does he do? Puts on the floor. It's going to the rim. Like, that's important. I know people go crazy, Giannis should never shoot threes, but if you can get Anthony Davis to bite, what does that say?
And Anthony Davis might be defensive player of the year this year. Like, he's a high level defender.
Yeah. So that says, even if the opposing coach says, we'll always give Giannis the three, like, on the court in the moment, that player thought, I can't give him this. Right. So I think we're seeing growing pains in that way, which, look, he's not a, yes, he can handle the ball in the open court, but clearly it's not like he's Jrue Holiday, who can go behind the back, between the legs, behind the back, in the paint, right? So, like, it's, we're seeing, I don't know, like, what do unicorns change, like, do they molt, do they grow? Like, what do unicorns do when they, like, get older?
I they are all over my house. I have a six-year-old daughter, and I still couldn't tell you a lot about the unicorns, like, molting patterns, but.
Yeah, so, like, he's not unworthy of criticism for sure. There are things he can be better at and do better. But that's personally, JR, where I feel offensively you're seeing this, like, everyone wanted the Bucks offense to change and to be more consistent and score and beat the wall. Well, I think we're seeing that try to happen, that evolution try to happen. Now, defensively, I think that's where maybe Giannis shouldn't play free safety as often, you know? Like he said, he's like, Drew Holiday's a monster. Drew Holiday can literally man up Anthony Davis and LeBron James and, you know, James Harden and and now we'll see. Bud mentioned, he's like, yeah, maybe Giannis could, you know, take up Kevin Durant next time. It's going to be a long time before we see it again. So I don't know. You're right. I think, but the defense is changing in that way too. And now if Torrey Craig is going to play, actually, you know, maybe, I don't know. So that is more interesting. I do think they need to be more experimental with Giannis in that way, because I do think he can affect things as an individual defender more than they kind of allow him to.
Oh, let's.
That was a long rant, I know, but.
No. I love it. I love rants. This is what I'm here for. I'm not here to talk about the Bucks. You're here to talk about the Bucks. I'm here to talk about my daughter's unicorns all over this house. And also for Torrey, I also am here to talk about Torrey Craig. Let's talk about Torrey Craig. As you mentioned, he got 13 minutes against the Hawks. That has been one of the storylines. If you're a Bucks Twitter or Bucks Reddit guy, you'll know that Torrey Craig's absence has been highly notable. He did have obviously a broken nose early in the year, which put him on the bench, put him out of commission for a few games. But he was signed to be a defensive stopper. Kind of a surprising acquisition for the Bucks. I mean, a high-level player acquired on a short-term deal. Seemed like a pretty good get for a team that had to, you know, kind of pay attention to how it spent its pennies this year with all of the, you know, the big contracts that it was doling out. And he's not playing. And it seems like he's the type of guy that they could use. So what in the world is going on with Torrey Craig?
Yeah, great question. So we talked to Torrey today, earlier in this pod, before the podcast, and he didn't really get into being frustrated or anything. He's just like, yeah, I was kind of waiting to play. This is maybe where the masks help these guys sometimes.
they can't give it away facial, with their face.
Some facial giveaways. Yeah, I don't know. Now, he didn't play in Boston, which was so weird. Garbage time against the Warriors, but okay, they blew him out. Maybe, you know, no Draymond. Okay. The Knicks game, routed, so he's playing and he breaks his nose, obviously. But to not play against LA, to not play against Brooklyn was so weird. And I think Bud, I don't know, JR. So Drew Holiday says after he finally plays against Atlanta, he's like, oh, I love it. He's a guy who could switch, he could guard 1-5. Like, it feels like the players have wanted Torrey Craig to participate. And maybe he just had to check whatever boxes of practice. Like, I'm going to draw my football stuff here, JR, with, like, fan favorites for football. And we're allowed to see more practice sometimes. And like, that's why guys didn't play, because they didn't practice very well. And I'm not saying Torrey Craig didn't practice well. I'm just wondering if because of he was new. Remember, he was slowed in camp with a hamstring. He breaks his nose. Like, I wonder if Bud just needed more practice time. And I don't know if that – I don't know, right? Like, is that it? Because now we'll see, I guess. Like, if he plays 15 minutes a game going forward, it might – that just might be the easy thing to say, right? Because up to this point, it seems like a mystery of why he didn't play against Boston, LA, and Brooklyn.
Yeah, I mean, the other mystery is that there are players who are getting the time that you could easily sub out, at least in the mind of Bucks fans, of people on Twitter, Reddit, whatever. Like, it's not hard to see where the minutes could come from. And, you know, I don't even feel like naming names, but it seems obvious to me that Torrey Craig could at least get a shot, whereas guys have struggled off the bench this year. And the bench had pretty good moments against Atlanta. I mean, they had a really good showing, especially early on in the game, so... You know, it's not that the bench unit overall is completely, you know, unable to get things done, but it's not hard to see where Torrey could get some minutes this year. Speaking of the bench, and I guess this is kind of a good place, good question to ask it with every podcast. Any other storylines, players that you've been watching? You mentioned Bryn Forbes on the last podcast and then wrote about him at jsonline.com. You wrote about the fact that this team is still very good offensively. Like, the numbers are there, you know, in terms of rating, in terms of raw numbers, they're there. You know, maybe that's why Torrey Craig would make sense. Defensively is probably the area where they can most improve at this point. But any other storylines that you've been paying attention to?
Well, the bench is interesting, JR, because, you know, I'm curious to know where you think or the listeners think, like, early ends. And I'm sure you deal with this in the baseball like conversations, too, where it's like, when does early end, right? I mean, to me, they're at 20% of the season. Like, I don't know if it, like, I think it's early for Torrey Craig. I don't think it's early for the Bucks anymore. So now where I'm going with that is, I think it's safe to say that the trend has developed where when the bench doesn't produce at all, they lose. And when that group, whoever it is, gets rolling, even if it's just one of them, usually it's Bobby Portis or Bryn Forbes, they win or they are in the game. Like, And I don't know. And I wrote this after Brooklyn, where I don't know if it's a chicken and the egg, because against those teams, your starters are probably going to play 36, 38 minutes, right? You're not going to take them off the court so DJ Augustine can play. But that bench group then needs to still be able to score and produce offensively in the smaller window, right? And I think that's where they haven't figured that out yet. And that's where this weird way the Bucks play has not helped them, to me. Like, in the close games that they've lost, the bench has played a little bit and hasn't produced. Then they win. They did a big blowouts. And then the bench produced. Like, it's a weird middle ground. It's kind of like you mentioned, you know, before this, you talk about Giannis in the clutch, not really getting the ball, and maybe it's Chris Middleton. Like, they're not having enough games, JR, I think, to find these things. Like, I don't know. It's strange. And that's what I think is interesting about the bench is it's on them, I think, to figure out how to score in fewer minutes. And I don't know when they'll do that or how they'll do that. I don't know. Is it up to the starters to facilitate bench players? I don't know. That's the odd thing I think is worth sort of tracking through the rest of this first half of the season.
The Bucks will go to Florida to play the Toronto Raptors, go figure, on Wednesday. That'll be the next game. Bucks are going to be on the road here for three games in a row. They're in New Orleans to see Zion and the Pelicans on Friday, and then Saturday in Charlotte to face the Hornets. So no more home games in January. They'll be back, though, Feb 1 to face the Trailblazers. You're going to Florida, right, to see this Raptors game in Florida?
Yeah, I think our last pod, I thought I was going to Brooklyn.
Yeah, what happened there?
COVID. So basically...
COVID.
Yeah, so...
It arrived.
Basically, I would have been the second reporter out of the New York tri-state area to attempt to come in for a game.
Okay.
And they haven't really dealt with anyone like me coming in. So the league and the Bucks and the Nets all talked, and basically the Nets were like, well, we've got to follow New York State protocols, which meant I would have had to have a negative test, then quarantine for 3 days in New York, and then get another negative test to get into Barclays.
Okay. That's going to be costly.
Yeah. I mean, no one's spending 4 days in New York to go to one game. Now, I think if, like, they had a weird, like, Knicks, you know, 3 and 5 days, it might have been worth it. But, yeah, so basically – that happened. Florida has no such issues. So
shocker.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that's why the Raptors are there, right? Cause Canada is like, screw this. You guys aren't doing that. So yeah, I'm going to go see the Nets, the Raptors play in Toronto or in Tampa. So I'm going to go to that one. And then honestly, JR, with now with the league, look, they've postponed, what, 20 games?
Yeah. So, yeah, the Bucks had been mostly unscathed, and then, of course, Friday, not on their account, but because the Wizards are down. Yeah. The Wizards haven't played in 2 weeks.
Yeah, so I'm supposed to go to Cleveland for that back-to-back with what would have been maybe a Packers Super Bowl weekend, but that's – now we have to see because, you know, the league is postponing games kind of at such a rapid rate that it's getting a little difficult to try to plan out that sort of thing. So, and we have no idea yet, no updates. We've tried to get the Bucks to let us into Fiserv, and you know, that's kind of a, you know,
for a subject
game of tag. Yeah. Somebody is it all the time. So put it this way, we don't really know who we should be tagging or if we're it or if someone else is it. Cause
yeah. I wonder, I'd be curious to know. I definitely noticed this, but I follow and work in, you know, newsprint for a living. I wonder if fans are noticing this. The fact that writers have such limited access this year and that all of the quotes that they're seeing in every story is coming through a Zoom meeting and thus fairly, you know, fairly guarded, fairly filtered. It's not, there's no like sidebar conversation that somebody's having in a locker room with somebody, and guys aren't, you're not even just calling up these players and talking to them. That's not how organizations want to operate. So there's just not a lot of feeling in these quotes that people are able to get. And, you know, you still get writers who can offer opinion and analysis and things like that, but it's all coming through their TV sets and their computer screens. And I just wonder if fans have noticed that as well as I have. I'm sure this is a huge challenge to try and, you know, to try and find an angle, but you know, when you're given pre-canned material almost, it's really difficult to make anything out of that.
No, you're right. And you know, I thought Mike Budenholzer was short, if you will, after the win in Atlanta. I don't think he was particularly pleased. I think Drew Holiday is a pretty measured guy. I think Chris Middleton after the loss in New York was pretty irritated. And that came across a little bit, but unfortunately that was a game. I think we've since worked with the Bucks to resolve this, but he was wearing his mask and it was hard to hear him. and so not all of those quotes actually made it anywhere, to be honest, JR. So yeah, I think, you're right. There is a little bit of a distance, quite like like literally. And then yeah. So no, that's a good point. And hopefully, I mean, even if we're allowed in the building, you know, we're still not going to be able to like talk to them face to face. But I will say this, I think when I went to Miami and when I was tweeting about Giannis and Middleton getting into that really heated exchange on the bench, you know, there's value there, you know, or Brooke Lopez doing that weird flop, you know, where like it echoed through the arena. You know, and I think fans eventually saw that on the broadcast, but again, it's there is a value for us at least being there in person. So hopefully I can continue to do that safely and bring that to folks at least.
One thing I've noticed, this is kind of off topic now, but you can always tell which reporters are watching through like direct cable. Or, you know, there's some that are there. Which beats any TV feed. Like you can always rely on a couple tweets before you see it for yourself. Then you're watching on cable. That's the primary wave. And then there's the people who are watching on an over the top service where there's a significant 2 minute delay, we'll say. And then you see those tweets start to roll in. You can always tell who's watching on what service because, you know, because of the delay. That's that's a weird quirk. Who cares? But
or you're a really angry Bucks fan who seems to get all of their games blacked out.
Oh man.
Various reasons and other, I mean, what a disaster.
Yeah.
And that's been, I think, part of this too. You know, I know I've only traveled to a handful of games, JR, but I think it's been great, at least in some of those moments, because some of them have been blacked out or affected, or like what I think the game in Miami where TNT was like, all right, we're done. We're moving on. So,
right.
You know,
and there's a lot of those games don't even have local. I mean, yes, right. You're blacked out from the local broadcast, but some TNT, like when that game's out, you know, you don't have Plan B. You don't have Fox Sports covering that game as well. So everybody gets shut out in that capacity. That's why it's nice to have somebody actually on scene. But Yeah, it's been a tough year. You got to come back to cable if you want to get Fox Sports Wisconsin. This is going to be an issue that resonates into the baseball season. It's going to be huge in the summer when people can't get their Brewers games. So that's definitely something that's not going away. But we'll do what we can. As long as there's a TV somewhere playing the Milwaukee Bucks, Jim Ozarski, I know that you'll be covering it, right?
Yeah, we'll be there as best we can. And again, hopefully we can get into Pfizer form. And hey, if you're listening, you know, drop an email to information at Bucks or Milwaukee City Health. Just tell them you want me there. Public pressure.
I'm going to guess we get there before the end of this season. There's, you know, at some point we're going to make some progress with this vaccine where this is tenable again.
Yeah. I mean, look, this is a little inside baseball, but the Bucks, I think they might be the only team in the NBA that doesn't allow media in. You know, there's precedent and there's a way for us to get them to you, the listener, the reader, the tweeter, the Facebooker, and all that stuff. So, yeah. Hey, look, it's a publicly financed arena, and I'm just saying, make your voices heard. You heard it on the Point Forward podcast.
Oh, the Point Forward podcast. I don't think I introduced it correctly. I think it just said the Milwaukee Bucks, blah, 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 blah.
Not that I'm keeping track, but I'm keeping track.
Yeah, so. Well, that's going to be re-recorded. But I'm going to leave this in so people are like, what is he talking about? He said it totally right. Like, nope, that's the magic of editing, baby. Fix my mistake.
You know, we're going to have some fun, JR, because I think now that Packers are over, we got this stretch of Brewers. We've been teasing some stuff. I think, like, you know, you and I have different soft drink opinions.
Oh yeah, the Pepsi Coke thing is real.
Yeah, I think we're gonna have to verbally fist fight over that.
That's fine.
And I tend to be a troll on social media. I was nicknamed Oscar the Grouch at a previous stop, and I carry that on with me. I think a lot of things make me mad, JR.
Yes, yeah, you seem like a real loose cannon.
Yeah, and I think occasionally I may just need to like rant on certain things, you know.
Very well.
And then we'll have to I'm looking at you right now and you seem pretty angry as well.
Always.
Yeah.
As angry as I can be.
I think we need to you know, connect with the people by being mad about stuff.
All right. Well, I will promise to bring my scathing hot angry takes next time. The Bucks have my full attention now that the Packers are done, so we can focus on how angry I am. He is Jim Ozarski, Bucks beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Follow him on Twitter at Jim Ozarski. He has snarky takes about the Cincinnati Bengals and terrible opinions, thinking that Coke is better than Pepsi. Just dreadful. you can find everything he has to say at jsonline.com. My name is J.R. Radcliffe. Find me at J.R. Radcliffe on Twitter. That's Radcliffe with an E on the end. I write a little bit for jsonline.com as well. Thanks for tuning in to the Point Forward podcast. We'll be back with you again next week. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Point Forward podcast, a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and jsonline.com production.